Mike Tirico here with some of the 2024 Team USA athletes. What's your message for the team of tomorrow?
To young athletes, never forget why you started doing it in the first place.
You have to pursue something that you're passionate about.
Win, lose, or draw, I'm always going to be the one having a smile on my face.
Finding joy in why you do it keeps you doing it.
Be authentic, be you, and have fun.
Joy is powering Team USA during the Olympic and Paralympic Games. Comcast is proud to be bringing that inspiration home for the team of tomorrow.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Conor Skehan is with me now, though, columnist with the Sunday Independent. Conor, always good to talk to you. Thanks a million for coming in to us. What relevance has education and college education on politicians and politics and policymakers, if any?
If any. That's a good qualifier. I've been around politicians for a lot of my adult life, and I can't discern it making much difference one way or the other, which is a distressing thing to say, given that I gave over a lot of my adult life teaching third level as well. It's much more to do with personalities and the quality of those. So I've some of the finest public representatives I've met have, on the one hand, been highly educated, qualified people, and equally people with absolutely no qualifications at all. So I think that's the first thing to say, is that it's the quality and character of the person. I wrote a piece recently questioning a slightly different thing, which is that in the UK, they announced the recent cabinet's educational backgrounds. And it was staggering to see that whether it's Tories or whether it's Labour, the vast majority of them went to just two universities. And that's pretty shocking.
So the issue here is less the fact that a college education exists and rather what? That it's two particular universities, or that it reinforces that idea in people's minds that there's kind of an elite in charge.
Yeah, I think we've all, particularly since the advent of social media, become more aware of this idea of people being in a news bubble or being in a bubble of people who have the same opinions. And there's no doubt that going to a particular type of college is very, very impactful on somebody's personal development. So it's not so much what you study, whether it's medicine or law, it's the environment in which you do it. And the extent to which that environment produces a set of values that are shared. Values are the really interesting things, which is, first of all, how people react to events. And secondly, the extent to which they are relevant to the people that they're meant to represent. So it's arguable in Ireland that a good spread of people, from people who've got no educational attainment up to people who've got very high ones, have much more chance of being relevant to people for that magic first 100 days. Again, as I say, I've been around politics for a while, and an awful lot of people submerge into the system quite quickly. So it's those early first moves that matter, and making them in ways that are empathic to people. That's what seems to be important.
And one of the biggest determining factors as to whether somebody goes to third level education is often having parents who went to third level, or a parent who went to third level education.
Yeah, for good or ill. For good or ill.
I mean, but I just wonder, does that kind of, maybe that reinforces kind of the problem you highlight, in the sense that, you know, again, with the UK example and the Oxford, whether Cambridge or Oxford, those being the two universities, that it's quite likely that they had a parent or parents who also went to them. So it's not only the people who they've surrounded themselves from an educational point of view and probably a socializing point of view once they got to university, it's also the environment they grew up in.
Yes, no. I mean, one of the more interesting things reading through that set of backgrounds of the new UK cabinet is the number of people who moved a long way from where their parents started.
Okay.
So even like the new British Prime Minister, very ordinary background, very ordinary primary, secondary school, and then he suddenly bootstrapped himself. And when he bootstrapped himself, he became part of that elite. It is very difficult in Ireland to understand what real elites look like. We just don't have them. And that sort of compounds the fact that public representatives in the United Kingdom represent huge constituencies. So most people probably never meet an MP in their lives. I have a friend who had English visitors over, and the doorbell rang as he was making dinner, and he said, "Would you ever get that?" And the guy came back shell-shocked to say, "It's the Prime Minister at the door." And it was Bertie Ahern doing his usual constituency rounds. But we expect that in Ireland.
Yeah.
Not a chance in England.
Yeah, it's very funny. I was speaking to somebody not that long ago about kind of UK politics. Somebody absolutely engaged, utterly engaged in politics. And then when I asked, "Who's the local MP?" Some conservative.
No,
not really sure.
Yep, And the other reminder in all this is that politics really matters. And we're very lucky to live in a country where it matters to so many of us. Like, I was completely inspired. Maybe I'm still naive at this stage of my life, but I was terribly inspired by the number of people who stood for the local government elections recently. Like, thousands of people and their families and their friends all got up and turned up and went out. And to me, that's very invigorating to see people really think that politics, even local politics, or especially local politics, matters, you know?
In terms then of kind of third level education and its relevance within the Irish political system, does it have any?
Well, see, that's the other complexity, is when you watch people become ministers and take over departments, it's kind of scary to watch how relatively little influence a minister has on a department. Mm-hmm. The department's a big, huge juggernaut. It's going somewhere and you're doing very well just to get onto it, much less steer it. Mm. And a lot of that momentum, for good or ill, is from the public service. So one of the things I'm looking at is to see what the educational attainment of our public service is. And again, we're pretty lucky.
How well educated are all our Sir Humphreys? Is
not
that
bad.
The question?
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Okay.
Now, again, in the UK and in places like France, those elite colleges, the senior civil servants also go to them.
Okay.
Which makes it really tricky. In this country, there's a really nice broad mix of people who have come up through the system. The Irish Public Service is great for giving people opportunities to educate while they're in the system, while they're at work, and things like the Irish, what's it called, Institute of Public Administration.
Yeah.
Give lots of good education. There's a lot of hunger in people to have that higher education as a step to get you recognised at interviews and things like that. So the standard is pretty high. I did meet a guy who was Secretary General of a department once, and he told me his proudest achievement was he made it to Secretary General and got out the far end and retired without anybody realising he had a PhD.
Oh, right. OK, so this is a great achievement of his.
Well, it was. And it's kind of an indication of where the state came from, that we had very high ideas of egalitarianism at the foundation,
yes,
of the state. And that kind of thing was looked at with a bit of suspicion, or ignoring the fact that that civil servants who transferred from the previous British administration to the new Irish one were a big part of building the state. So they've nothing to be ashamed of. They were good people.
I'm looking at Donald Trump on the TV screen here in the studio, and I often think of him and something you say as a great example of populism. People mix up popularism and populism. And populism, the most clear example in my mind is the drain the swamp idea, that there's kind of, there are elites who control the society, control the country, control the purse strings and all of that. And they are working at cross purposes to the rest of us, to the normal people.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the thesis behind Drain the Swamp. And we're not utterly immune to it, but what makes it more difficult here, though, is what you talked about, is that our politicians are that bit more accessible. It's maybe harder to convince people that the local TD is kind of part of some kind of cabal being orchestrated and directed from Davos when he's calling or she's calling to the door every couple of weeks.
But there is a creeping increase in the interventionism of government into our lives, and we should all be vigilant and worry about it. COVID exaggerated that or amplified it a lot, and there is a worry that we are seeing increasingly independent, particularly officials, who have started to become what I call activists. They are very passionate personally about something. The idea originally of the civil service is that they serve without fear or favour. And that's what our public representatives are really meant to watch, is those kinds of creep-ins of values. Going back to that word again. So if the values of the people who are ruling us on a day-to-day basis are different from the rest of us, that's where you start to worry.
But the question I was going to ask, though, is whether it's a bigger problem then in societies like France or the UK, where the local politician, as it were, is less accessible, and they have all gone to these two universities, or not all, but you know what I mean, a huge amount, certainly at the top level, have gone to them. It's more fertile ground, one would imagine,
for an echo chamber.
For an echo chamber, yeah. And also to convince kind of the great swathes of the public, kind of the great unwashed, as it were, that yes, there is a ruling elite.
There is.
Look at that. You don't even know who your local politician is. They never called to your door. And what's more, all the people who are running the country all went to the same two universities. In fact, most of them were in the same social club. What was that club that Boris Johnson, the Bullingdon Club or something, that they were all in?
And those programmes, the TV programmes like Yes Minister, or the very short series, I think it was called In the Loop, from my personal experience of politics, are extraordinarily accurately captured. That tiny little tight bubble that made
In the
decisions.
Loop, I think, was the movie. In the Thick of It was the TV series, wasn't it?
Yeah, but they brilliant. really captured it. Both the combination of chaos and the fact that it's like people trying to surf on a big, huge wave that's always breaking.
So are we then kind of well served in this country by the, kind of concerns about kind of mission creep notwithstanding, by the kind of diversity of educational background within the cabinet and within politics?
Yeah, I personally think we are. I think it brings a realism, brings an edge to this country. I think the other thing that helps a lot is the fact that our senior civil servants have to retire quite quickly after 5 years. So there's great churn now. There isn't that sense of old grey men, you know, who are all just ruling departments that you never see. There's a lot of churn, a lot of dynamism, and that's helping. So, I mean, I think once in a while we should take out the silverware and admire ourselves and say we're not doing too badly, you know, because if you don't do it, it can slip away and you lose the right to criticise it if you haven't originally praised it and said, that's good, keep going, keep going, keep going.
Sorry, this is kind of a slightly tangential point, but just to pick up on something you said there, are we too slow in this country, or do you find it frustrating that we don't often admire what we get right?
It's a huge problem, because one day you wake up and it's gone and you say, feck, if only I had, you know? So I think it's a very important part of our culture that we learn to be more, I suppose almost self-congratulatory. I mean, again, sorry for looking across the water all the time. I mean, Britain's a great country for praising itself. I was watching the end of Wimbledon there and their flags and their uniforms and they're busting up about themselves. We do it in things like our county sports incredibly well. We do it with one or two other sports. But as a nation, there's a sense of projecting ourselves out. Not enough of it. I saw some people recently commenting favourably on our quite old president compared to quite old presidents in other countries. Mm. And there's that great affection for that office and a great affection for person in it. I think it's a very healthy thing to appreciate yourselves.
All right. Well, listen, Conor, appreciate you and the time you've given us. So thanks a million for coming into us. Conor Skeehan, columnist with the Sunday Independent.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.